Bradder's no-nonsense hits, only on Vitalize Radio, the voice of Torvain.
What a legend we have on the show today. He's a singer, actor, and all-round Irish star. I don't think I need to add any more. It's Gary Gamble. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here with you.
How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm keeping well. Been very busy. Oh, this good. Last few months, we had our successful Blackpool tour back in June, and we released a single last month, so it's been a bit hectic, and we're touring as well, and currently doing Ireland the Show at the moment, which is just a high-energy celebration of Irish song, music and dance, and it's a big theatre tour. We started in Scotland in the end of July, and we're still touring here in England. It's been pretty hectic, but it's good to be on the road.
Yes, of course. And we'll delve into Ireland the Show a bit later in the show. But first we need to talk about you, of course. So where in Ireland are you from?
I'm from a place called Donegal. It's on the northwest coast of Ireland, not too far from Daniel O'Donnell, another Donegal man, as another country music singer as well. And good friend, by the way. And a place called Letterkenny, if you know it. If you've ever been to it, you can fly to Donegal Airport and travel an hour to Letterkenny. Or you can also fly to Derry and only travel about half an hour to Letterkenny. So it's not far from two of our airports.
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to visit Ireland, but I've never got the chance. So hopefully in the future, I'll be coming to Ireland and hopefully I'll see you on my travels. Who knows?
Well, you've no excuse now. You know where I live.
Yes, of course. So were you into music as a child?
Yeah, very much so. Singing since I was born. Mum says since I was speaking. My first song I sang was Radio Gaga in the back of the car. Mum and Dad always used to play, when I was a kid, they used to always play music, country music and different styles of music, pop, rock, ABBA, Freddie Mercury, Queen, country, Tony Christie, you name it, they played everything. So basically I was brought up with a lot of music surrounding me. My granny as well, she played the accordion. My dad was a singer in a band. My sister also sings. My brother also sings. My other granny sings. So we were always surrounded by music with house parties and different things and get-togethers, you know?
Yeah, a real musical family then. Who was the biggest musical influence during your childhood then?
God, I had so many. You know, if it was country music, I was really into Frank McCaffrey. He was a great singer, you know. He's a guy from Westport, County Mayo. Always enjoyed him singing. And also, I like Philomena Begley and Louise Morrissey singing too. And of course, Daniel O'Donnell. Can't forget him. But Frank McCaffrey would have been a great singer. And when I met him, you know, I was in awe. You know, I was kind of, I couldn't believe I met this guy. And he's just a humble man and just does his touring and working. But we became great friends. We toured ourselves. So it was amazing to share the stage with him. So that was, and the dad and mum used to play his music in the car when I was a kid. So that was good to meet him, you know, and look up to him.
Yeah. Well, you're a singer-songwriter as well. So what first got you into writing and recording songs then?
I'm always making up poems and jokes and silly rhymes and stuff. So I started doing a little bit of songwriting, but some of my songwriting can be serious and some of it's fun. So everybody just seems to like the funny comedy writing. So I just stuck to that. Some of the songs that I've written aren't good for airplay, so...
Yeah, we'll keep those off here then.
Yeah.
So what's the process of writing one of your songs?
I tend to write the music first, believe it or not, in my head. I have this air, and then I could probably get a joke and use the joke in my head, twist it and put it in and make it, you know, rhyme and set with the song. So it's, I kind of do it back to front, believe it or not, which is probably a longer process. And, like, I would hear this air in my head. I had done a song called I Love the Highlands, and I was at a wedding one time and I heard this da 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 da, and I says, God, I must write a song to that air. So that's what I was doing. I just keep it going over in my head for a while and say, what suits this song or what suits this air? And then I would say, right, I must put this sounds like that. And no, you kind of get into it. If it's a slow air, obviously it's going to be a slow, sad song. But if it's an upbeat type thing, I can kind of put some comedy into it, you know?
Yeah. And do you prefer writing by yourself or do you like writing with other people?
I like writing myself, but sometimes I have a lot of friends, you know, as you know, positivity and fun and laughter attracts positivity, fun and laughter. And some of the songwriters that I've met through my own songwriting are just as crazy and fun as myself. So I like to hear sometimes what they write and they give me songs and I write songs that's not suited for me, for them. So it's good to meet other songwriters and see what their setup is and how they do it too.
Do you have a favourite song that you've loved recording?
That I've recorded. Let me think. I've done a song called Destination Donegal, you know, and it's really popular. Obviously, it's about the county I was born in and where I'm from, and it seems to go very well. But there's a lot of songs that I haven't recorded that I should record, and a lot of people have told me, you know, you should record this one and this one. But I was in the studio last month trying to get some stuff done, but I'm hoping that we get this new album with some of the songs that I love and some of the songs that the people love, because it's all about the people that listen to my music as well. And thank you for the suggestions to everyone that sends me songs. Hopefully it'll be out before Christmas.
We'll make sure to play that on the radio then, because that I'm sure, like all of your other albums, that'll be great to listen
Thank
to.
you.
Yeah, no problem at all. So, are you able to play in any instruments?
I, believe it or not, play a piano. I play a guitar, bass guitar, bagpipes, tin whistle, and a few other instruments. And I have a piano sitting here in front of me
I'll change that question then. Is there any instruments you're not able to play?
minute. I can't play. Well, I can play the fiddle a little bit, the violin a little bit. What else can I not play? Steel guitar. It's very difficult, but I've tried it, and I know a few wee intros of different songs, but. I think if you've got some music in you or some kind of scale in your head, then you can always find a scale on some kind of instrument.
A few weeks ago, I went at my I think it was my dad's friend's, and he my dad's friend is a saxophonist, and he had a saxophone just laying about, and I was like, oh, I'll have a go, because I'm a drummer, I'm not good with reading music or anything. But then he said, oh yeah, have a go, here we go, and I got a tune out of it, and I was like, that's, I'm happy now, I'll put that down, got a tune out of it, it's good enough.
With a saxophone, believe it or not, you asked that question, what instrument can you not play? And it would definitely be the brass section. I tried all that before, trumpets and saxophones. I just can't get around it at all.
Yeah, you got to get your breathing right, haven't you? And this all,
Exactly.
yeah. So you released your new song, The Squeeze Box, back in July. What was the inspiration behind that?
That's a fellow songwriter that got together with me, and we talked about what we could do with the song. And it's about it's about a girl who in the song is my girlfriend, and she has a squeeze box, which is an accordion, but in Ireland we just call them a squeeze box. And it's basically a story. She plays it all night and all day, and she's playing at festivals, and she dies, and she's buried with her squeeze box, but he still hears it playing at night in his head because she played it so much. But it's a fun song, and there's a few little innuendos in it as well.
Yes, well, I had a listen to it, and I was thinking, is there any innuendos in it? I didn't know whether there was, but now you've said it, yeah, it makes
Oh, there is
sense.
definitely.
You also do a tribute to another famous Irish star, Daniel O'Donnell, who you mentioned earlier. What made you want
Yeah.
to do that?
Years ago, when I was in college, people used to say that I talk like Daniel O'Donnell, the country singer. And so when they used to say that, I used to say, oh, no, stop that, I do not. So, because Daniel talks with a really soft Donegal accent. So, Stars in Their Eyes was really popular at the time with Matthew Kelly when I was in college. And it was when somebody came to the show. I told him who their idol was and dressed up as this person they were going to do a tribute to or impersonate. Then they sang as a song and competed. And everybody used to say, you should dress up as Daniel O'Donnell and compete. But I never sang as Daniel O'Donnell. But there was like a Stars in Their Eyes show in Ireland. And it was just like, you know, something from the television, but more of a community thing. It was £1,000 for the winner. And there's this guy doing Tom Jones, and there was these girls doing ABBA and a guy doing Elvis. And I says, this Elvis guy's going to win. And I done Daniel O'Donnell. And everybody was laughing their heads off because I just went up with a white suit, brushed my hair to the side, and sang like Daniel. And the song was, well, I never felt more like singing the blues. So it was an old guy in Mitchell's home, but Daniel was singing it at that time. Anyway, the results came out and they done it in reverse order. And I think ABBA was fourth. Tom Jones guy was third, yeah. The Elvis Presley guy was second. And once I heard he was second, everybody kept saying to me, Gary, you won, Gary, you won. I was like, no, I didn't. And the next minute they called my name and I nearly died. So
Oh wow.
I was only working in a bar for £72 a week, and I just won £1,000 for singing one song. So I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then I rang my dad and mum, could you come and collect me? And because the guy who was paying everybody, it was cashed in a big envelope. And I've never seen as much money in my life. And I was like, oh my God, because I was so young. I said to my mum and dad, can you collect me in the car? And he said, sure, walk over. It's only about 3 miles away. I says, I have £1,000 in my pocket. He says, oh, Jesus, we'll be there in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe I won either. And then after that, I'd done a few television, a bit of television work because of the Daniel thing, the impersonation. I'd done radio adverts and I'd done little spots at weddings and birthday parties dressed as Daniel. And I basically all I'd done, I just walked in, told jokes, sang a few songs and people just loved the crack and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you shocked me. I was, well, for people that don't know how we met, we were at the Island the Show last year, weren't we? And you were there singing. I was there doing, I think I was technical assistant.
You were technical assistant, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And I was at the back, and I'm not going to spoil it in case it happens again this year. But what happened during the second act really did shock me when I looked around and saw you. But yeah, that was, I never knew you could do a tribute to Daniel O'Donnell, but
yeah,
you did it really
I used
well.
To do a lot of different tributes as well, but not Daniel, seems to be the most popular one. And yeah, a lot of people seem to be not fooled, but they're like, they're shocked. You're like, oh my God, is he really here? When they hear my voice, I don't know. It's uncanny. Daniel, I've met Daniel and sang with him on a few occasions and at some of his shows, open air concerts, festivals and theatre shows. And he says, he just keeps saying to everybody, do you know this Gary is more like Daniel than I am?
What was it like working with him? What was it like?
Yeah, he's absolutely fun. Great guy, serious, down to earth, knows his stuff, very professional, amazing guy. And we all look up to him. He's big stuff in Ireland and all around the world.
Yeah. Has he ever seen your tribute act?
Oh, he's seen it since day one. And we both sang together. And he says, I wear a wig, obviously, for the Daniel tribute. And he says to me, keep that for me. I might need it someday.
Oh, he's got a good
sense of
humour.
He's like me, he's got a good head of hair, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. You're also a comedy writer. How did that come about?
I've always been a fun guy in school and the prankster and carrying on. And then the college was the same. And then everybody used to say to me, Gary, go and tell me a joke. Gary, go and tell me a joke. And then I moved to Manchester when I was about 20, 21. And not so long ago, I lived with a fellow called David. He was very funny. And his friend was Alan Carr, and the comedian. And then Alan used to take us everywhere in his car and to all these comedy clubs and drag queen shows. And anyone that told a joke, we were there. And I learned so much from Alan. And he used to tell me jokes and I told him jokes. So, yeah, I had a love for comedy and seeing people's reactions and watching people's timing and stuff like that. So it's interesting to do, and it's also it's you know, you really have to learn how to deliver it. And I just says I would love to train and be a comedian, so I just used to watch a lot of comedians. But I was so glad that I met Alan and got to know him, and yeah, Still friends with him to today.
Is he nice then?
Oh, Alan's a gentleman. He's so funny. He's as crazy as me. He was in Perth recently, and in Australia, my sister and my brother lives there, my sister's fiance. And I sent him a message if he could say hello to my sister and her boyfriend, her fiance, James. And he was only on stage for about 5 minutes, and he says, Gary Gamble's been in touch. He says, and he'd done a request for my sister and his fiance, James, and they nearly died. They were like, oh my God, I can't believe you sent that. This is how. So look, he's such a good friend. He used to drive me around before he was even on TV and his wee metro car years ago, yeah, around Manchester and all through all different motorways. And I wouldn't even know in England then. And he took us around everywhere because I was singing over there. I used to sing before country. I was doing, I was in a tribute show called Westlife, a tribute to Westlife. And I was Mark.
Wow, what an absolute legend then. I would have loved to have met Alan Carr one day.
Oh, he's so fun. Hey, so it's hilarious.
What's the process for writing one of your shows?
Oh, long process. You'll have obviously with any show, it's going to have a plot and two subplots. So you twists, and you know, I like having a show with more twists than a corkscrew, basically, as they would say. And the last show I was doing was called Sorry for Your Loss, a comedy show about an Irish wake, about a man, Paddy, who died, and two sisters. Sorry, there's three sisters. I play two of them. And basically, the undertaker, they call her the underdetector, comes to the house and says, your Uncle Paddy has died. He's lived in Australia all his life, but he has to be waked back home in Ireland. And they're all like, no, he's not going to be waked here. He says, get him out of our house. We don't want him. And the undertaker says, well, look, this man has an inheritance to give to his nieces. that's shoes. Oh, Jesus, bring him in then. She says, we'll wake him. So this is how it kind of starts. But I took a good few months and changing the script and writing it and testing it and doing it again. So I say there's a good 11, maybe 9 months of work before it even gets together, you know, with writing and taking jokes in and putting them out and seeing what works and then testing it with a small audience. It's a tough process, but it was done and we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Hard work too.
Well, I think that's what some people don't realize is that all these shows that you see, whether it's on telly or whether it's in the theater, you don't see the people behind it and how long it takes to actually put it
Yeah,
together and
that's so
write it.
true.
Yeah.
There were a lot of rehearsals now and a lot of sacrificing and changing and times and dates and babysitters and it's a lot of work goes into it. And no, we done it. We were so that we were gonna pull the show now because we thought it was at the end of its tether,
Yeah.
at the end of its rope. But the last six shows we done in May were all sold out. So
Wow.
we were told by our manager that we're off our heads if we're gonna pull the show now because there's places we haven't been to yet. We've been to Aberdeen and Glasgow and London and Birmingham. We haven't done Manchester, Liverpool, or anywhere around that, or Wales, or anywhere near you.
Yeah.
We haven't done parts of Cork or Tipperary. So, yeah, we're possibly doing another tour in January. Check out the dates. You'll see them on jmgmusicgroup.com. It's the show's called Sorry for Your Loss.
Where do you find best to perform then? Is it Ireland? Is it Scotland? Or is it in England? Is there a
It's the theatre in Ireland, they all know the songs and they all sing along, and yeah, it's really, really good. But if you're living in England or Scotland and you're from Ireland, then you're gonna love it so much and you're gonna sing all these songs because you probably miss hearing them, and maybe you miss the nostalgia and the traditional stuff that we'd have on stage. So I would say everywhere. Seeing at home, it's just so comforting being there. But in England and Scotland and even Wales, when we're performing, or Canada or Spain or wherever we are, we always notice that the audience appreciates it so much more. And you can take your time with the audience and they enjoy it. And we love meeting people after the show as well and during the interval. And they always come over and say, so much stuff about complimenting the show. And then not only that, where they're from in Ireland. Where they're from in England. And sometimes you meet people, we have never been to Ireland, but we feel like we've been to Ireland. So it's so nice. But I don't have a favorite or particular place. I always says to myself, I'm always happy when I'm on stage. So no matter where I am, I'd be happy on stage.
Of
Whatever
course.
part of the world.
Has there been a favorite show to write or perform?
Let me think. Yeah, I wrote a bit of a panto script one time for kids' jokes. And my jokes would be all this obviously adult humor, but they asked me to be a dame for 2 or 3 years in the panto, and on the 3rd year they says, we're going to give you all the jokes to write yourself this year.
Oh no.
So I wrote a few jokes and the kids were in stitches because I was testing with my own niece and different, like my aunt's sons and daughters, and just telling them jokes and they were laughing themselves. So like, what do you call a deer with no eye? No eye deer. No, stuff like this here. What's a chihuahua? You would ask the kids. And they'd go, it's a dog. I said, yes, it's a Mexican dog. What's a shih tzu? And they go, it's a dog. And I would say, no, it's a zoo with no animals. And they would all bust out laughing. And it's just such a silly joke. But I just talk about little jokes and put them all together. Silly little jokes for kids. And they loved it. And then since that, I met the guy who directed the show and we sat down and he wants to write a show with me now as well. I don't know if it's a comedy or I know it's going to be a comedy. So I don't know if it's for kids or adults or for everyone. So meeting Paddy, hopefully inside the next few weeks when I get back home.
You've made me chuckle now, Gary.
There you
That's
go.
like
Silly jokes
it
like
is.
for kids.
It's
Panto.
silly, but
Yeah.
it brings out the inner child in you when you start.
Yeah,
It's like,
that's
oh yeah.
it.
Well, I know you're a big fan of the Swedish pop band ABBA as well. So what do you like about their music?
I like their style. I love the vocals. I love the harmonies. And you just know by the recordings that they really take their time putting everything in place. I like all the hooks on their songs. There's so many little hooks on their songs, just twittering through. Like, what is it? What do you call that one? Mamma Mia,
Oh yeah.
isn't it? Everybody knows that. So like once you hear that, you know what it is right away.
Yeah.
No, everything. I think every song they wrote was a hit. And sure, that's why they're so successful. I never got to see them live, but I've seen their show twice in London. It's called The Voyage. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But always been a fan of ABBA since day one. But Mum says that they would have been the first songs that she would have been listening to when she was listening to that to ABBA when she was pregnant with me. So I probably heard these inside my head from day one. She used to always play them when we were kids as well. So still stuck in my head.
Well, it's a hard one now. What's your favourite ABBA song?
Oh, Winner Takes It All.
That's funny because our producer, Sam, when he came on the radio with me, he said, I said, what's your favourite song? You need to play your favourite song and say about it and whatever. And he said, oh, it must be Winner Takes It All. And he basically said the same thing as you. He says, brilliant. And I was like, it's fair.
Amazing song, no, definitely. My second favourite song would be a song called The Visitors. Which that I do not know how it wasn't a hit, but it probably was a hit in some country, but it's just an amazing song. But there's so much stuff behind it, what it means and all too. So yeah, they're a smart bunch of guys who wrote that stuff for the two girls.
Well, our producer Sam, who's also a big fan of ABBA, has asked, what did you think of the Voyage album and the concert?
Yes, very good album. And Ireland was mentioned in one of their songs in the new album. Kilkenny, the album's amazing. I love so many songs. I love the I Still Have Faith in You, track number one, obviously. Keep an Eye on Dan is my favourite on that album.
Yeah.
Very, very good song.
What about Don't Shut Me Down?
Oh, yes. You have to sing Don't Shut Me Down, but my favourite definitely has to be Keep an Eye on Dan.
Yeah.
I love the harmonies in the... I'm always a fan of harmonies, and I think that's why I love them. I love Mama Cass, obviously, Mama and the Papas. Their harmonies are amazing too as well. The Beach Boys, and there's so many bands that do harmonies, but ABBA I thought was just top notch when it came to harmonies. They have so many layers of harmonies, but on that Keep an Eye on Dan, you can still hear that Agnetha and Frida still have that little, you know, uniqueness that they have when their voices blend together.
Yeah.
Great album.
Well, it's time for the quick fire questions.
Whoa.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Beer or wine?
Beer.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Rain or sun?
Rain.
Singing or acting?
Singing.
Miley Cyrus or Kylie Minogue?
Kylie.
Musical or pantomime?
Pantomime.
Walking or driving?
Walking.
Salted popcorn or sweet?
Sweet.
Festival or film night?
Festival.
There we are, you've just won £1,000. No. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's no problem at all. I enjoyed that.
Those were difficult questions at all. At the end, I haven't been asked worse than that.
Yeah. Well, you're part of an excellent Irish variety show as well called Island the Show, which you mentioned earlier. How did you become part of that show?
As you know, I do the impersonation of Daniel O'Donnell and also have a few Irish country music albums out. And I was just asked, you know, would you be okay to participate in a new show called Ireland the Show? And it would be a celebration of Irish song, music and dance. And on my albums, I sing the songs that are on the show. So it probably got me into the door quicker. I've always been a fan of Irish country and I listen to American country as well, you know, and a lot of other country music from different parts of the world, but I've always just been a fan of Irish country and Irish trad and Irish, you know, songs like Noreen Bond, The Town I Love So Well, Molly Malone, The Irish Rover, I'll Tell Me Ma When I Get Home. So it just, you know, I was just basically asked, auditioned for it, and I got the job. So I was delighted. Now it's a high energy show and there's a lot of tour dates. We've done 7, 8, 9, I think it was 10 weeks last year. We've done touring and we've done 2 already this year. 2 weeks of tour back in March of this one. And then we're in the middle of this tour at the moment. And that started back on the 21st of July. We've got right up till the end of August to go.
As you mentioned, it's high energy. And I totally agree with you because when I came to see the show, I thought, oh, it's Irish music. I came in as a techie and I was a bit like, oh, I don't know about this. But when I left, it actually made me put Irish music on my playlist, which I never thought, because I'm not that type of person. But it's so uplifting when you have like...
You were brainwashed.
I was. So who's starring alongside you?
There's a lovely girl from Donegal And she's been a sidekick of mine, a very good friend, and a fantastic singer, amazing vocals. She gets standing ovations when she's singing. She's called Elaine Boyle, and she's a blonde-haired bombshell from Donegal, easy in the eye and easy in the ear, an amazing singer. And also there's another entertaining artist and singer with us. He plays the fiddle, and he's a high-energy entertainer and singer. He's called Richie Remo. He also sings and shares the stage with us. We do duets and all together, and we sing all together. And then we've got our Irish dancers, and the Celtic Fusion dancers are amazing. We have Sarah, Shauna, and Ashley, and they are just, I think they're dancing maybe 7 or 8 times throughout that show, with, wow, you know, 2 and 3 minute dances. So, you know, they're on stage as much as ourselves. And then we're backed by the popular Celtic Storm Band. They are just a talented group of musicians from Ireland, and they know their stuff. They're really, really, they've been touring for years, and they're just amazing. And there's a young guy there too as well on guitar, David, and he's just a superior guitar player. So yeah, it's good to be with all the professionalism, and there's 12 to 13 people of a crew. There's like 2 vans and a car. So it's really a big team of us on the road. And if anyone's tuned in and they want to come and see Ireland the Show, then check out our tour dates at jmgmusicgroup.com or Ireland the Show on Facebook.
There we are. Has there been any favourite places you've been whilst touring?
Oh, yes. We were with you in that theatre and Sarah, and that was such a quaint little village. I loved that place. We went up around all these shops and stuff, and there was another place, and I think it might be Livingston. No, it might be wrong, because when you're touring all the time in your different towns, but apparently it's this cobble street, and it's got the steepest hill in England.
Oh, wow.
So maybe your listeners might know where that is.
Yeah, well, if you do know, then...
And there's a big, massive cathedral at the top, but I'm sure your listeners will know, and it was lovely. Or maybe your listeners know already, and they're probably going to ring you and tell that Irish boy, Gary Gamble, that we know the name of that place. So it wasn't too far from where we performed with yourself, Sarah, and your Sarah, you know. But it was raining that day, and I had an umbrella, and I went up and down all the streets in that lovely theatre. Yeah, in Monmouth. Yeah, it was brilliant. I think we went over a big, massive bridge to get to use.
The Severn Bridge.
Yes, that was it. The Severn Bridge. I remember the name too, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Oh, imagine I'm easily kept happy when I thought a bridge was amazing. Imagine.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that people could see Elaine Boyle and Richie Remo. What else can audiences look forward to seeing during the show?
There's the tribute, obviously, to Daniel O'Donnell. We have great ballads and medleys put together. And obviously, there's a fun element to it. And then we have loads of nice ballads and sing-alongs. And do you know this here? There's some songs that we sing in the show that people would... I can see them maybe crying or thinking about someone. And I would say to a few people, I was singing a sad song tonight. I'm sorry I made you upset. She says, no, it's not that. She says, you sang a song that my dad used to sing, or my mum used to sing to us when we were kids. And you know, I just says, look, I didn't mean to make you sad. So, no, it wasn't that I was sad. I was really happy that you sang my dad and mum's song, or my aunt's song, my uncle's song, you know, my granny's song. So everybody takes something different out of our show. And they go away with a lot of nice memories. Or maybe, like, you know yourself, Yian, that, you know, music can bring back memories that are probably forgotten about. You know, sometimes songs are attached to memories, or memories are attached to songs, and that sometimes happens with our show.
Well, it's a very special variety show then, isn't it?
It certainly is. No, it's really appealed to a lot of audiences, and if anyone's never been to Ireland before, this show will take you to Ireland and back in one night.
Yeah. Well, now that you've given us something to look forward to, where can people see you and when?
Well, tonight, Yian, we're in Bridlington Spa. We're moving on to Telford tomorrow, and we're getting closer to Monmouth, because we've got Rick Mansworth to perform at. We've Hastings, then we go to Maidstone, and then Weston Supermare, and then to Super Monmouth at the Savoy Theatre. And then we're heading on from there to the Briary Hill, over at the Briary Hill Civic Hall, and Dunstable Stockport. And the last one in England, it will be New Brighton, and then we're back to Northern Ireland for some shows as well.
Oh, wow. So a nice variety of locations you to perform at then, especially Monmouth.
Yes, a lot of miles been done.
yes. And that's at 7:30 p.m. Is that correct?
It sure is. 7:30 at all the theatres. Yeah.
Well, if there was a young person out there wanting to become a musician like yourself, or a playwright, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, basically, follow your heart. Keep doing it. Don't let no one put you off. Don't copy anyone. Be yourself. Be unique. And just keep going and treading along. Like, there's always the saying, slow and steady wins the race. So I always believe the quicker you go up the ladder, the quicker you come down it. So yeah, always just take your time, and but not take your time. If you're a fast rider and you can get things out, done quickly, get them out there. But, you know, just keep doing it and keep working at it, and you never know what happens. And I just kept doing it, and sure, it's taken me everywhere. It's taken me all around the world, which is unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. One more question then for you. As this is going out in Wales, as you know, I don't think many people will know much of the Irish slang words. So can you tell us some popular Irish slang and what they mean?
I went to Wales when I was a kid. My mum and dad took us on family holiday a few times to Wales. We went to Pwllheli and Cardiff,
yeah,
and a few other places. And I ended up singing in Pwllheli and singing in a few other places in Wales that I can't pronounce. I probably can, but I'm not making an attempt.
Yeah.
But when we're over there, they love our Irish slang. And we have so much, like we our common one that we use a lot is, hello, what's the crack? Which is, hello, how are you, basically.
Wow.
Sometimes we chat in Gaelic or Irish, as they call it. We've loads of slang for that. We have so many, I can't even start. If I was chatting to someone here beside me now, we would be saying so many, you know. Slán would be goodbye, you know, bye. Or slánáilte would be good, safe home, or safe journey home, or bye to your home.
Yeah.
Garamaygut would be thank you. That's Irish. But yeah, our slang words would be, what's the crack? What about you? That's another one. That's a really Northern Ireland one. I don't know if you've seen Derry Girls, but I think somebody, one of the girls says that on that. What about you? No, it's kind of like that, you know. If I was in company with somebody now, sometimes when our friends were from England, our relations or anybody from Scotland, or our friends in Wales as well, obviously, my friend David that lives with us, and David and Alan Carr, he used to always say, could I slow down? Because I talk too fast, especially if I'm in company with another person from Ireland. We'd be like, hello, how you doing? I'm not too bad. What's the crack? I'm not too bad. Where are you at today? You shopping? I was shopping. And people are like, what the hell are they saying?
Yeah.
So we had to slow down a bit when we're in company with our friends from England, Wales or Scotland or America.
Yeah.
And Canada and Australia, everywhere.
Well, you've been well travelled, and you've been to many places to get all these experiences. Do you feel lucky to have been to so many places?
Do you know this year? I wake up every day and I say thank you. I'm really grateful for everything and all my friends and everything that comes with it. And even this interview, it's amazing. Like, and I know your radio station, and you have so many loyal fans and friends and listeners as well. So it's just nice to meet your friends and fans as well. And through the radio station Vitalize. So thank you all and everyone involved.
Well, if you love Irish music and want a great night out, then you can see Gary starring alongside Elaine Boyle, Richie Remo and the Gale Force Irish Dancers, not forgetting the Celtic Storm Band, of course, at the Savoy Theatre in Monmouth on the 16th of August at 7:30 p.m. So, Gary, thank you so much for chatting with me. Good luck with the tour. And I hope you're able to join me again here on Vitalize, which I'm sure you are. Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you, Yaya, and thank you, everybody, at Vitalize. Bye.
Bradder's No Nonsense Hits, only on Vitalize Radio, the voice of Torvine.